A person does not respect himself, that does not value himself, does not really go anywhere in life. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from showing any disrespect to yourself. Absolutely, as a Muslim, it is haram to show disrespect to yourself. Listen to this. The Prophet ﷺ, once sitting down, he misses Abu Huraira. He says, Abu Huraira, where are you? So Abu Huraira comes in and says, Prophet of Allah, I could not come to you because I was najis. Okay, he had a dream and he could not come to the Prophet ﷺ because he felt that najis, he is impure. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? What is the first lesson that teaches him? Subhanallah, al-mu'minu la yanjis. He said, oh, glory be to Allah, a mu'min never becomes najis. You see this? Or another time the Prophet ﷺ would say, لَا يَحْقِرَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ نَفْسَهُ. So that it is haram for any one of you to belittle themselves. He said, do not belittle. It's haram to belittle yourselves. It's haram to say that I'm not good. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَقُولَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ أَصْبَحْتُ خِنْزِيرًا أَوْ أَصْبَحْتُ حِمَارًا. He said that let not any of you say about themselves, I'm such a donkey or I am a pig. You know, sometimes people talk about themselves and go, I'm just such a stupid, this and stupid. This is haram. You don't say this about yourself. It's haram. It's really haram. You just don't say this about yourself. You do not disrespect yourself in such a manner. You know, they have this issue in psychology, is that if thoughts are verbalized, then they become reality. Have you heard this before? I love it when I make up things, subhanAllah. Just enjoy making up things. People just take it as if it's like... Okay? But it's very true. When thoughts are verbalized, they become real. We tend to believe. You can have a thought in your mind and you can just, you know, kick it away. But the minute you say it, we tend to believe it more. So you may be feeling like a fool. You may feel that you have done something wrong. You can describe what you have done as being wrong. But you cannot say, I am. And then, you know, give a very negative statement about yourself. Okay? Or like you'd have companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day one of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam misses him. The man went somewhere far. So what's wrong with you, Hamdala? Said, Nafaqa Hamdala, I became a hypocrite. Why do you say this about yourself? I said, you know, every time I am with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm feeling all good, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the minute I depart, I go to my family, I get into this worldly affair, I feel like a hypocrite. He's saying that I should be feeling this way all the time. Then Abu Bakr says, oh, well, this is how I feel myself. You know, every time I am with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, feeling all good and you know, elevated spiritually. But the minute then we go home, you know, you get into worldly affairs, you know, was the bill paid, not paid, they what's this working, not working, and we get all away from this. And they went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said that it's humanly not possible. The idea was to assure that you're not necessarily at fault here. Okay? So we see this, subhanAllah, happening. Islam is teaching us that there is just no room for you to be feeling this way about yourself. What affects our self-image? You know, what are the... How is this shaped? Well, the environment around us has a lot to do with it. Especially when it comes to parents, when it comes to friends, schooling, and general, you know, environment here. By that I mean the media and what have you. The parents, I said something about it last night. SubhanAllah, sometimes how you see your child really affects how the child feels about themselves. Okay? If you keep telling your child that they are stupid, they're not capable of doing this, or they are dumb, or they're this. Do you think that this has no impact on them? It has no influence on them? Of course it does. So what you say to them does really impact how they see themselves. And subhanAllah, there is a point with children, especially around 6 years old, adult approval is the most important thing to them. Around six, adult approval is the most important thing to them. And we tend to overlook this. You know, they do things and they want to show it to you. They do things and they expect compliments from you. They do things and they want approval from you. If you deprive them from this, then you're making a big mistake. Okay? So we see that now we can influence how others see themselves. Friends. Subhanallah, friends, especially young men and women between the ages of 9 and 13, they die to get their peer approval. And this is, by the way, when most smoking starts. It's around that age. Not only that, but the way people talk, the way they behave, the way they carry themselves, it's usually because of what they have seen at school. You know, sometimes, subhanAllah, this is interesting. You know, people come in and say, "What's up, dog? What's up, dog? I am not a dog, but what? But you know, this is how cool is being defined." They meet us, "What's up, dog?" Or sometimes even you see it with African Americans, "What's up, nigger?" And you know, and people talk like this and say, "Why are you doing this?" Well, you know, this is how people do it at school. This is how people talk at school. This is how people behave at school. So we see that now we are so wanting to be like them that we forget being ourselves. We literally forget being ourselves. We are no longer who we are, but rather we are doing what they want us to be. And because we are just so into gaining their approval, we're willing to imitate. We're willing to smoke. We're willing to use foul language. We're willing to do so many things. And that's why, subhanAllah, sometimes I feel that as a Muslim, some of our Muslim youth, they have what we call schizophrenia or double personality or multiple personality, because they go to school and they are expected to behave in a certain way to fit in. But then when they come back home, there is also another expectation of them. And this is catastrophic when a person has got to live like this. They stop being themselves. At home they have to please the parents. At school they have to please the children. Then when do you get to be who you are? If that is the case, when do you get to be who you are? And the idea is, and that's the beauty of Islam, consistency. Wherever you may be, you're always a Muslim. What is wrong in front of your parents is not right in front of your friends. What is right in front of your friends should also be right in front of your parents. It does not make it. So it creates that consistency in you, that comfort in you, that you be who you are wherever you may be. And that, subhanAllah, that gives you peace. You know, speaking of peace, you know, salam means peace. Peace with whom? Three kinds of peace. Peace with your Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace with yourself. And peace with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that you be in constant peace, you be in constant salam. Peace with Allah and peace with yourself. How can you be in peace with yourself when you have to be someone at school, but then you've got to be someone else when you are at home, you've got to be someone else when you are in the masjid, and someone else when you go to relatives, and someone else when you go to your friend's house, and someone else when you are in the mood, and someone else when you are in front of girls, and someone else when you're... When are you yourself? And living like this does not give you peace. So in Islam we are taught that, you know, consistency. So what happens with friends is that in Islam we are taught to be very selective with the kind of people that we want to hang around with. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, what did he say? He said, "Alaykum bil akhilla fa innahum aunun fi dunya wal akhirah." He said, make use of your friends, or be selective when it comes to friends. Then what did he say? For they are great help for you in this life and in the hereafter. So people said, "Oh Ali, we know how they can be great help. We know how they can be great help in this life. But how are they great help in the hereafter?" He said, did you not read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? He said, وَالْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. He said that the friends in the hereafter are going to be the enemies of one another except those who were righteous. You know, in the hereafter people are going to be blaming one another. Had it not been for your friendship, had I not been hanging around you, had it not been for me knowing you, and I curse that day that I ever met you, and I hate the day that I ever got... So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, except those who are righteous. They will be of help to one another. Alhamdulillah. Had it not been for you, I would have been doing something wrong. Had it not been for my friendship with you, alhamdulillah, you've saved me. Or Allah saved me by facilitating you to be my friend. Had it not... And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, you know, this is something so beautiful about Islam, is that it's a very practical religion. Extremely practical religion. So in it, the Prophet ﷺ gives us the example how our friends really influence and they impact us. He said that the parable of friends is like what? He said one of them is a blacksmith and the other one sells perfume. He said, the one that sells perfume, you come into them, you come into their shop. What is the least that you would walk out with? The very least that you would walk out with? Smell something good. Don't they have like free trials? You know, they say not for sale. I usually go out there and abuse it. That's what I do. I usually try 20 at a time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you go in there, you may not buy anything, but they offer you something. Because why? Because, you know, they say, you may like it and buy it. So the least you would walk out with is just it smelled good, it was good aroma, and you walked out, mashallah, you did not lose anything, but rather you gained something. And here comes another friend, the Prophet ﷺ says, it's like a blacksmith. There is always welding that's got sparks, you know, flying all over the place. If you're not careful, it's going to burn your clothes. And if you're just being in that surrounding, it's going to be smelling very, very bad. So you definitely lost, the Prophet ﷺ tells us. So it is like this. In Islam, part of showing self-respect, and subhanAllah, I say this also to my younger brothers and sisters here, part of showing self-respect is by the kind of company that you choose to hang around with. I've got so much self-respect, I respect myself so much, that I don't allow myself to hang around every Joe and Mo. Not necessarily every Joe and Mo is worthy of being my friend, but rather I am extremely, extremely selective. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, subhanAllah, very wise man. He would be telling he's giving this beautiful advice to his son, and he would say, "Ya bunay anzur fi man tukhalil." He say, "Oh my son, be selective. Look into whom you like to befriend. You know, whom do you like to be friends with?" And then he goes, "Ya bunayya, la tasta'bid nafsaka li ghayrika wa qad waladaka Allahu hurra wa qad khalaqaka Allahu hurra." He said, "Oh my son, do not enslave yourself to others, for Allah has created you a free man. Allah has created you a free man," he said. "Do not enslave yourself to others." Enslaving yourself to others is not necessarily that they become the master and you are the slave, this external type of slavery. But there are sometimes where we willingly enslave ourselves to other people or other things. We do that willingly, where we give our hearts. We let them guide, we let them lead, we let them determine, we let them decide. Now, in Islam, this is a form of enslavement, and an absolutely forbidden form of enslavement. I forgot who said it. He said that he was in the movement of abolishing slavery. He said, "I would have freed a lot of slaves had they known that they are slaves." So they could have freed them, but he had a problem convincing them that they were slaves. And this is the worst type of it, where you have actually enslaved yourself and you don't even recognize this. So our self-image is really directly impacted and influenced and affected by the people that we hang around with. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ tells us, "Al-Muslimu, al-Mu'minu mir'atu al-Mu'min," that, you know, a Muslim to another Muslim is like a mirror. You see yourself there. SubhanAllah, this is so beautiful, you know. These are only three words. Mu'min, mir'atu, al-Mu'min. Muslim is the mirror of another Muslim. These are only three words. But subhanAllah, the scholars have deduced 10 points of this very short hadith. Why did the Prophet ﷺ choose a mirror? This is one of the most beautiful hadith, you know. And check this out, subhanAllah, because it really defines our rights and obligations as friends. SubhanAllah, you go to the mirror. What happens when you look into the mirror? You look into it and you become more complete, right? It tells you, you know, you've got to really do your hair right here. You know, you've got to do your button right here. So the more you look into it, what's happening to you? You're becoming more complete. You're getting next to perfection. This is how it is with friendship, that we take care of one another. You see deficiency, you point it out. But also one thing about the mirror is that it is so fair. It does not make big what is small. But also, if it is big, it's not going to lie to you. It will show it to you as big. Right? Sometimes we fool, we do not do justice to our friends when we do not point that out. Or sometimes even we don't do justice when something is really small, but then we make, what do they say? You make a mountain of an anthill, and you reduce a mountain to an anthill. Have you heard this before? You know where I got it from. Okay? No. But this is real, what happens. Mirror, subhanAllah, is extremely fair. Mirror is very, very fair. You know, when was the last time you consulted a mirror and it just showed it to you so big, or it told you that, you know, you've got a spot, and you look, you know, you look into the mirror, there is a spot, but then you check, you know, there is nothing. You never see this in a mirror, at least not in my mirror. I don't know about mirrors in Houston, but mirrors in California happen to be very fair. Okay, so this is, again, this is the same thing that happens, you know, with in friendship. And subhanAllah, even more important is, when you look into the mirror and you leave, what happens? Does your image stay there for everyone else to come and see? It does not, does it? What is that telling us? That you consult it, it will give it to you in secret. And then once you leave, it's like you've never been there before, for the next person that comes in. You know, I was talking to that brother and that sister, and my God, I just pointed 25 of his faults, and he argued with me about 23 of them, and I had a part-time... That, you know, you just don't do this with friends. And that's why, you know, by the way, the term friends is not recognized in Islam. Rather, the term that is used is ukhuwa, brotherhood. And many times we come to the masjid, I call you brother this, and you call me brother that, and sister this, and sister that, but there is, you know, it's just the title that... You know, the companions never called one another... You know, Umar never said, oh, brother Abu Bakr, or, you know, or brother Abdurrahman ibn Auf, or, you know, sister Aisha. That's not how they talked, but that's how they acted. This is how they acted, that's not how they talked. Okay? And most important also about the mirror, subhanAllah, I just love mirrors, by the way. You know, most important about them is that they are so polite. They tell you, you look so bad, they don't even use a word. I'm serious, wallahi, don't they? When was the last time you stood in front of the mirror and slapped you and said, how dare you come and stand in front of me looking like this? It doesn't do this, does it? Rather, very, very quietly it tells you, you know what? You are a big mess. But it does not say a word to you as you are doing this, subhanAllah. Do you see the point that is happening here? Imagine... That, you know, people come there, you're just this and that, and bombard you with... How do you think that is going to affect you? How do you think that's going to affect you? But the idea is, keep the bigger picture in sight all the time. I think yesterday we said, you know, a Muslim is focused. And focus is not the ability to see the little details. Rather, focus is the ability to see the little details without losing vision of the bigger picture. Sometimes we get so caught up and being consumed by looking into the little stuff that we lose sight of the bigger stuff. Okay? Are you following to this? And subhanAllah, and here is how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us. And finally, subhanAllah, the closer you get to the mirror, what happens? A clearer image that you see. Right? You can stand, you know, very far away, but it will only point out the zillions things or the big things that everyone else sees. Right? But then you want to get as close as possible. And the closer you get, what happens? The better you see, the more you can fix. And not only that, but a mirror is so fair that it will point out your faults, but at the same time, it will give you compliments for what you have done right. You all following this? It doesn't just say, you know, we're going to block that beautiful shirt that you're wearing and we're only going to show the sloppy hair that you have. That's not how it does it. It gives you both the compliments as well as it points out the shortcomings. And that's what our friends are there for, subhanAllah. You know, sometimes, and I've realized this, it's very difficult to give compliments. Don't you think? Generally speaking, people are more ready to share criticism than they are to share compliments. You all following? You all awake here? Okay. But that's what happens. And that's, subhanAllah, that is very sad. And that's not how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. Whenever there was a room for compliment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave it. You know, there is a whole book called The Compliments of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just about the compliments that he used. Usama, he's the best warrior that we got. Abdurrahman, the most generous person that we know. This person is the most that. And this person is the most this. The Prophet ﷺ was a walking, they call it the dictionary of compliments of Muhammad ﷺ. He went around, and you see good, speak, subhanallah. You see the good, speak, subhanallah. That is how you increase the goodness that you pointed out. Subhanallah, you know, do me a favor. Never belittle words of encouragement that you tell someone else. Because subhanAllah, humans, we are some very funny creatures. Okay? We are funny, aren't we? But we really are. Because subhanAllah, it's unbelievable what can really boost our morals or how someone can really crush our morals as well. Give someone a compliment and they just, subhanAllah, and you know, especially if it's sincere and it's very, you know, pointed, then subhanAllah, it does miracles to people. It really does miracles to people. Sometimes we make a mistake by the way we compliment our, you know, our kids. They come in and they have a picture. Oh, mashallah, good girl. Or mashallah, good boy. You know, that really, that sounds like a cliche. That's not real. You know, that does not sound like you really meant it. You know, cliche are usually words and terms, sentences that we use, but we really don't mean it. And I was really surprised when I first came to America. People use a lot of cliché. They tell you how you're doing and they don't even wait for the answer. Right? They ask you, what's up? And the guy's gone. Excuse me, you just asked a question. Do you want an answer for it? You want to see how am I doing? You want to stop for that? Now, people don't do this. They say, hey, how are you doing? And they just... Did they really mean this question? Did they really mean it? Could have said, good morning. Would have been probably more, you know, honest. Could have said hi. They could have said something else, but to ask how are you doing and not even wait for the answer. What are you telling me? I'm asking, but I really don't care how. This is what you're saying. Like I say, I was just told that I have cancer, huh? Okay. And just, but do you get the idea? So sometimes, even the way we do this, because subhanAllah, it's an art, you know. The same way that criticism is an art, encouragement is also an art. When you tell someone that they have done specific thing right, it means that you are acknowledging that thing. But if you just give a cliche, oh, that's, you know, a good girl, or that good boy, or mashallah, that does not really, it's not very, they want me to be quiet. That really does not say much. Okay, so we see this, and we see this obligation and rights that we have as friends. So friends really impact the way we see ourselves. And the key point here is that make sure that you hang around with people that improve, not fool you, but they improve your self-image. You know, self-image psychology, how you feel about yourself. Not necessarily fool you, because sometimes, you know, we tend to fool one another. We give each other false assurances or false or what, but that does not make you a good friend, unfortunately. Okay. Question now is, where do I, as a Muslim, get my self-worth from? Because this is very crucial. You're telling me that my body should not be speaking for me. You're telling me that where I come from should not determine who I am. You're telling me that my position or my possession should not say. You're telling me that being male or female should not say anything about me. You're telling me that being black or white should not say anything. And how do you feel about all these things? Subhanallah, you are in contentment. This is how Allah created me. I am happy with the creation of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, I am happy with this. If I were to take pride in being black or being male, and someone asks, oh, so how long did it take you to be black? Or what did you do to become male? Or what did you do to be born in Africa? Or were you consulted and this is something that is done by choice? No. How ignorant of you that you take pride in something that you did not even work for. So proud I'm black. MashaAllah. So proud I am a man. Subhanallah. You know, in the Quran, Allah differentiates between a man and a male. Allah makes a distinction between man and male. Manhood is a position that you attain by your deeds. Where being male is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Abu Hayyan says, لَيْسَ كُنُّ مَا كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ لِحِي أَصْبَحَ رَجُلًا. Not everyone that has a beard becomes a man. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَعَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. Of the believers are men who have fulfilled the vows that they made or the covenant that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this sense, that also includes women. But Allah referred to them as رِجَال. And the term rajul in Arabic is derived from the root verb tarajjala, which means to establish yourself firmly upon principles. That makes you a rajul, whether you are a man or you are a woman. So Abu Hayyan says, Allah is not talking about someone with a beard. Allah is talking about someone with deeds. That's what makes you a man. So anyways, so here we have then, where does a Muslim get this from? Self-worth and self-value, generally speaking in Islam, comes from our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ. We have indeed honored the son of Adam alayhi salam. Everyone in this room, male or female, is a son of Adam alayhi salam, and as a result, he's being honored by whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with. Not only that, وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have preferred them over many of our creation. Indeed, through preference, we have preferred them. Okay? You say, well, that includes everyone in this room. I want something, you know, more special to me. Listen to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, Allah, he stands in front of the Kaaba. You know the Kaaba, the house of Allah, very first house that was dedicated to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He stands in front of it and he said, the destruction of the Kaaba is less evil than the killing of an innocent Muslim soul. That includes you, or it includes her back there. Allah would rather have the Kaaba destroyed than you being killed wrongfully. Or you being killed for no good reason. See how much honor Allah is giving you? Not only that, but once the Prophet ﷺ said, the destruction of the whole dunya is less evil than the killing of one Muslim. You see how much honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you? Not only that, but the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, that if you make a mention of Allah in an assembly, Allah will make a mention of you in a better assembly. Say la ilaha illallah. So Allah just made a mention of you in a better assembly. Not only that, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. And if he makes a mention of me in himself, I make a mention of him in myself. Can you believe this? You, the nobody, Allah is making a mention of you in himself. Imagine that you're just driving the car and you see something beautiful and you say, Subhanallah, Allah makes a mention of you. You know, Ubayy ibn Ka'b was once approached by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Ubayy, inna Allah amarani an aqra alayka surat al-bayyinah. Allah has commanded me to recite upon you surat al-bayyinah. What was Ubayy supposed to ask? So go ahead, Prophet of Allah, tell me what Surah Al-Bayna is. What does he say? He said, Ya Rasulullah, wasammani lak? He said, Prophet of Allah, he mentioned me by name. You know, through Jibreel alayhi salam, he really mentioned me by name. He said, Jibreel is telling you, Allah is commanding you to read this, Ubayy ibn Ka'b. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ubayy ibn Ka'b left the room and he was crying, did not even listen to what Surah Al-Bayna is. Because he was full of joy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of him by name. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ once is addressing Khadija. And what did he say? Ya Khadija, inna Allah yuqri'uki salam. He says, oh Khadija, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending his peace, his salams, his greetings upon you. What does he say? Allahu huwa salam, wa minhu salam. He said, Allah is indeed the salam. You know, the one with no deficiency, the one in the state of wholeness. And they said, and from him comes salam. And then she was so pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making a mention of her. Imagine that your boss in your company of 6,000 people or 8,000 people, they sent you a personal email. How would that make you feel? It's like you took speed. Huh? It's like you are on drugs. Because, you know, the boss or the big guy, he sees something in you that he gave you something, you know, personal. Now imagine you make a mention of Allah and Allah makes mention of you. See, no one can strip, no one can take this away from you. I don't care whether you approve of me or I don't care whether they approve of me. I don't care if she approves of me or not. If I say La ilaha illallah, Allah makes a mention of me. And this is an honor that no one, absolutely no one can challenge. No one can take away from me. You know, subhanAllah, if even you want a deeper relationship, because subhanAllah, you know, in Islam, to believe in the existence of God or in the existence of Allah is not of much consequence. We are told that to have a personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a relationship that impacts our lives positively. You know, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, he said, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Derive your manners from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are generous, and say, why are you generous? Because Allah is generous. I am deriving my character, my manners, from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah they belong at their perfection, but to me as a human being, I try to get there as much as possible. Okay, and also finally the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Inna Allah idha ahabba 'abdan," that if Allah loves a servant of His, what does He do? Imagine this. We talked about that briefly last night. Allah loving you. And just imagine, just take a time. Just Allah loving you. Subhanallah. Allah loving you. He said, if Allah loves you, that's not where it stops. He said, He calls upon Jibreel and He says, "Oh Jibreel, I love my servant so and so fulan. You know, be they male or female, Jibreel, I want you to love them." So now Jibreel is commanded to love you. And then not only that, but Jibreel calls upon the dwellers of heaven and he says, "Allah loves so and so, that servant of His, and He's commanding you to love him." Do you see where this gets? Imagine that you get to that point. And then you speak of self-worth, self-value, self-image. Every time I say La ilaha illallah, that just boosts my ego. Just boosts my morale. Just boosts everything. And I say, Allah just made it a mention of me. No one can take that away. And this is something that you can do all the time, subhanallah. I will not wait for, you know, a talk show host to give approval about Islam. The same way that I do get mad, but it really does not affect how I feel about myself, alhamdulillah. Because a Rush Limbaugh or some Larry Elder or some Phil Graham said something about me, that's not going to make me look down upon myself. They can say whatever they want. And Allah, sometimes it gets to be so sad that the people that are making these statements are people that are not even worthy, morally worthy of making these statements. James Waggett is speaking of morality. James Waggett? It's like Jeffrey Dahmer speaks of human rights. Wallahi, wallahi. How do you explain this? Pat Robertson, Phil Graham, these people were segregationists. They were against blacks and whites being together. And now they speak as if they're the gods of morality, the gods of what's right and what is wrong, and say, "Oh, look at them and the pedophile and..." Oh, come on now, astaghfirullah azim, but of all priests and ministers who speaking of pedophile? You following with me here? These are the people now that we are seeking their approval. We seek their, you know, you are good people, and this is when I'm going to feel good about myself. Subhanallah. That's not how it works, my brothers and sisters. So as a result, I conclude by saying that it is very important that not feel or fool yourself. Feel good about yourself, but do not fool yourself. And make sure that where you get this is not from material or outside sources. If you limit your approval about yourself only to outside sources, then you have literally enslaved yourself to these outside sources. Because now your happiness is pending upon their approval. What happens if they don't approve? What happens if they don't? You shouldn't be feeling good about yourself. Feeling good about yourself starts from within. But then from where? Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that we are being Muslims. And remember, this does not mean that this is only theory, like something that is, you know, up there, like someone who's hallucinating. No, you show this in action. So when you make a mention of Allah by name, but you don't do it by deeds, that is very trivial and that is very shallow. When you claim to love Allah, but you do not show that in action, again, that becomes very shallow. When you want to be in peace with yourself, but you don't show this, or when you want to be in peace with others, but you don't work for them, then again, that also makes you a very shallow person. And that is a great mistake to make. My time is up, ya akhi. Adu Allahu a'lamu sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.